live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, it is about that time, and I am so excited to be joining you all on this January 2nd, 2019, because it is the very first current sports radio show of the new year. Happy New Year to you all. I really hope you all had a fantastic holiday, a fantastic New Year's Eve. Hopefully you celebrated responsibly and brought in the new year and the new decade alongside people that are near and dear to your heart, family and friends. And I really hope you spent at least some of your New Year's Day watching some of the fantastic college football bowl games that don your TV. I know I sure did. I had a great, great New Year's Eve, a great, great New Year's Day, and it feels so good to be back, man. I missed you guys. Missed you guys. First live show of the new year, and behind the glass is my man, Connor Mathis. Connor has been joining us throughout these past 2 weeks, helping fill in as engineer of the show behind the glass in light of Alec Rio and Jack Kerwin being away for the holiday break. They will be back next week. But I want to give a shout out to you, Connor, and say thank you, my man, and happy New Year to you as well. Did you have a great New Year's Eve and New Year's Day?
Yeah, good New Year's Eve. Kind of just bounced around between bars and then spent yesterday recovering and watching football. So it was a good day.
There you go. Good day, man. Which games did you check out?
I watched the first part of Bama. I was bouncing around. I just couldn't sit still. I was watching part of the Bama game, and then I hopped around a little bit. Went out to like the mall, tried to get new shoes and all sorts of stuff.
Oh, so you were everywhere. Yesterday.
I was bouncing around.
Gotcha. Well,
and then I watched Georgia Baylor until it was pretty clear that Baylor was not going to do anything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was pretty decided in that game. But how about Michigan? Michigan. I tell you what, I was impressed with what I saw from the Wolverines from a few different areas. Now they still lost. Okay, the cream always rises to the top, especially when you're talking about the Alabama Crimson Tide, as they were able to pull away from the Michigan Wolverines in that second half after the Wolverines, in fact, did have a lead at the half of that game. But we will recap Michigan and Bama. I want to talk about some of the other Big Ten bowl games that we saw yesterday. Of course, Oregon and Wisconsin, Minnesota and Auburn. Shout out to P.J. Fleck. I mean, if there was any doubt in your mind that P.J. Fleck was all hype and not enough coach, well, that all went to bed this season. P.J. Fleck has done an outstanding job with this Minnesota Golden Gophers program, and they had a great outing yesterday against Auburn. P.J. Fleck. He's energetic. He's a heck of a personality. I love it. And he's a pretty darn good coach as well. So we'll talk about some bowl matchups in the Big Ten in just a moment. We will also talk about a big loss coming from the world of sports, as yesterday we learned of the passing of arguably the greatest commissioner in North American sports history, that being the great David Stern, who passed away sadly at the age of 77. More on that story and more on the legacy that Stern leaves behind later on this hour, okay? It's also Thursday, the first current sports of the year. falls on a Thursday. And each and every Thursday, we love to educate you all on some sports history. And we'll have a Throwback Thursday segment for you all where we take a look at exactly what happened on this particular date in sports history. And for those who follow WKAR News, our Facebook page, you guys know that right before midnight on New Year's Eve, which marked, of course, 2020, right before 2020 said hello to us all, I actually dropped a video feature that I have been working on for a few weeks now, centered on the great James Moore, former Lansing Sexton High School football great. He's actually a Lansing Sexton High School Hall of Famer who went on to play fullback for the Michigan State football team. And he was a part of that 1988 Rose Bowl championship team. James Moore, he's a dear friend of the show. And I dropped a video profile on Moore that talks about his time as a huge prospect here in the area on the football gridiron and his struggles away from athletic prowess. And he was very candid, very open. If you didn't get a chance to check out that video feature, I'm going to bring the audio of that feature to you all during segment B. So we'll have a Thursday feature centered on James Moore and a brief postscript as to what it was like to tell that story and to see that side of Moore. We'll have that later on this hour as well. And busy, busy show. We're giving away a pair of tickets to tonight's Michigan State men's basketball game as the Spartans are in Big Ten play now and will take on Illinois. So keep it locked to find out how you can win a pair of tickets to that game tonight. All right, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number to call. Again, you can watch the live stream up and running with no technical difficulties. Knock on wood. At facebook.com/WKAR News. And you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Here are your quick hit headliners. As I just mentioned, the number 14 Michigan State men's basketball team will take on Illinois tonight at the Breslin Center at 8 p.m. Tonight's game is the third of five straight home games, actually, for Michigan State and the first of three straight Big Ten home games. It also marks the only time all season that the Spartans will play consecutive conference games at home. Now, Spartans point guard Cassius Winston, he is, in fact, expected to return from a one-game absence from that bone bruise injury. Freshman guard Mark Rocket Watts, he will play in his second straight game after missing four games due to a stress reaction. And senior guard Kyle Arnes, he was limited in practice this week with a hamstring injury, so we'll see what happens with him tonight as well. But tip time between the Spartans and the Fighting Illini will be 8 p.m. inside of the Breslin. And again, keep it locked because we are giving away a pair of tickets to that game tonight. All right, let's talk bowl games for a second. New Year's Day bowl games as the Alabama Crimson Tide defeated the Michigan Wolverines in the Citrus Bowl. That was a 35-16 final after outscoring the Wolverines 21-0. In the second half. Also, the Oregon Ducks, they just outlasted the Wisconsin Badgers 28-27 to capture their first Rose Bowl victory in 5 years. The Ducks, held opposing running back Jonathan Taylor to under 100 yards in the victory. That was quite surprising there. And Connor, did you see what Justin Herbert was able to do in that game? The kid is the real deal. I would love to have him rocking a Dallas Cowboys jersey. I tell you that. That's probably not going to happen.
You can take him. I'm not sold on
him. You're not
Herbert.
Sold on Justin
no.
Herbert?
I'm really timid when it comes to quarterbacks. Like, unless I'm completely blown away, I usually don't crown anybody. But I don't know. I just don't. He feels like he can be all right in the NFL, but I'm just not convinced that he can kind of be a team's franchise quarterback.
Well, what impressed me in that game, I mean, down the wire in that game, when his team needed a big play, I mean, Justin Herbert showed up. It kind of reminded me of what Trevor Lawrence was able to do for Clemson when that game was on the line and Clemson seemed to be dead in the water. Ohio State was rolling. Trevor Lawrence said, give me the football. I'm going to make something happen. So a win is a win, and Oregon beats Wisconsin in that one. And also, Minnesota, the Golden Gophers, they rode the boat to a 31-24 upset dub over number 12 Auburn. Shout out to PJ Fleck. Pretty amazing dub there. Okay, Michigan offensive lineman Steven Spinellis. He will finish his collegiate career elsewhere. Spinellis, who is a redshirt junior, he appeared to announce his decision to transfer on social media following that 35-16 loss to Alabama yesterday. This is what Spinellis wrote on, of course, Instagram, because that's how young kids make official announcements nowadays, right? Instagram or Twitter or something like that. Quote, excited to be starting the new year with my search for a new opportunity at a new institution. That's what Spinellis wrote on his Instagram. So looks as though he will be headed elsewhere, away from Ann Arbor. Tonight, the Detroit Pistons will look to bounce back from a 104-81 loss at the hands of the Utah Jazz as they now travel to L.A. to take on Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, and the L.A. Clippers tonight at 10:30 p.m. Blake Griffin, he is still dealing with that left knee situation. He is doubtful to play against his former team. Luke Kennard and Markieff Morris also remain out. And Patrick Beverley for the Clippers, he is out with a wrist sprain. So we'll see what happens tonight as the Clippers and the Pistons go at it out in L.A. at the Staples Center. Again, tip time for that one, 10:30 p.m. And the NFL has found no evidence connecting Bill Belichick or the Patriots staff to the video taken by production staffers of the Cincinnati Bengals sideline back in December. That's according to the Washington Post. So it looks as though Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots are off the hook for this one. The league's investigation of the incident is, quote, winding down, end quote, and could come to a close as soon as next week. Well, excuse me, this week. That's what sources are telling the Washington Post. Now, sources also said that it remains likely that the NFL will impose penalties on the Pats similar to those given out for other game day infractions. So New England could face a fine worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. The team could also potentially lose or have the value of a draft pick reduced. So there's that. But again, according to the Washington Post, the NFL has found no evidence connecting Belichick or the Patriots staff to that video. Okay, according to Bruce Feldman of Fox Sports and The Athletic, the Cleveland Browns have strong interest in former Ohio State coach, now turned broadcaster on Fox Sports, Urban Meyer, as a candidate for their vacancy. It remains to be seen if Meyer has mutual interest in replacing Freddie Kitchens, who was fired after just one season at the helm of the staff. And the Browns have already kicked off their search under former MLB exec Paul DePodesta, who reportedly won a power struggle since the departed GM John Dorsey. Now, seven different candidates, including former Green Bay Packers head coach Mike McCarthy and New England Patriots offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels, have either spoken with the team or are expected to. So we'll see what happens there. You know, a lot of names being thrown out for that job with the Cleveland Browns, and this really is a fork in the road moment, in my opinion, for the future of Mr. Baker Mayfield, who seems to, you know, he needs, in my opinion, a coach with a strong voice to kind of keep him in check, who is also a quote-unquote quarterback guru. So we'll see what happens, but this is a big, 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 big moment in the career of Baker Mayfield. And very sad news here, as we all learned yesterday that David Stern, the former commissioner of the National Basketball Association, has sadly passed away at the age of 77. The NBA made that announcement. Stern reportedly died from a brain hemorrhage he suffered several weeks ago. You know, we brought the story to you a few weeks ago about how Stern was, you know, in the hospital in serious condition, and he was with close family and friends. Just really, really sad stuff as Stern is survived now by his wife, Diane, and their two sons, Eric and Andrew. Again, and Stern is arguably the greatest commissioner in North American sports history. I mean, just looking at the NBA growth throughout his tenure as commissioner of the NBA, it's pretty amazing stuff. He became the fourth commissioner of the association on February 1st of 1984. He previously served as the NBA's general counsel from 1978 until 1980, and then as executive vice president of the NBA from 1980 to 84. And in 2012, he announced that he would step down in February of 2014, and he tapped Adam Silver as his replacement. And Silver has been doing a remarkable job since taking over for Stern. Big shoes to fill, right? At the time of his retirement, Stern was the longest-serving NBA commissioner, having held the position for exactly 30 years. So again, David Stern, may he rest well, 77 years old. Okay, as we proceed here, and we'll have more on David Stern's legacy. I will have more on David Stern's legacy as we proceed here on Current Sports. If you would like to be a part of the show, again, phone lines are open, 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. Live stream is up and running there. A few of you already weighing in there. Thank you so much. And you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Folks, again, Happy New Year to you all. I just keep thinking about it. It's now 2020. We are now officially in a new decade. That's crazy, right? Anytime you embark on a new decade, a new 10-year period, man, it just does something to your mind. At least for me, it's like, wow, man, time flies. Time flies. That's why I always say, man, live every single day like it's your last, and appreciate every single moment in which you are alive and well here on this planet that we call Earth. But Happy New Year to you all. I really hope you guys celebrate it responsibly alongside those that you know and love. I know I did. And, you know, I had a great New Year's Day just sitting on my couch and doing nothing. I haven't had a day like that in a while where I just sat on my couch and watched football all day. I just maxed, taxed, and relaxed. And that's what the holiday should be, right? You know, just relaxing and watching sports. And where I want to start here, you know, of course, before we hit segment A in about 10 minutes or so, I want to spend a few moments here talking about what happened in that Michigan football loss. That was a 35-16 final at the hands of the Alabama Crimson Tide, a team that many of us thought at the very beginning of the year, we thought the Crimson Tide were going to be again in the college football playoff. But they ended up, you know, having some injury problems. We all know about the injury to starting quarterback Tua Tagovailoa. And real quick, Connor, before I dive into this game, have you heard about what's going on with Tua right now? He hasn't pulled the trigger on letting the public know whether or not he is going to take his talents to the NFL and enter the NFL draft or come back for another season for Nick Saban and company. But I'm sitting there saying to myself, I mean, why in the world would you come back? I mean, when you look at the quarterback class in this year's upcoming NFL draft, I mean, Tua's going to be taken. He's projected to be taken somewhere in the top 10. He's not going to fall if he's worried about this. I don't know why. He's not going to fall out of the first round. If he stays, I mean, does he believe that he's going to eventually become like the number one overall pick? I don't think that's going to happen because Trevor Lawrence will probably be that next season. So
Justin Fields is there too.
Justin Fields is there as well. So it's like, dude, you know, you especially in the game of football, dude, strike while the iron is warm. I always say that. It doesn't even have to be hot. Right now, it's warm, dude. You are a first round pick. I don't think you're slipping out of the top 10. Go. You had injury problems this season. It's football. Anything could happen. Go. I don't understand that. Why is Tua even debating this?
I don't know. Part of it could be, you know, the draft insurance that a lot of these athletes are getting. But even then, if you think about it, if he gets taken five by Miami, which all indications are looking like it looking like the Dolphins sent their entire upper management to that Alabama game. The owner, the GM, the vice pres, everybody was at that Alabama game. So even if he falls to five, yes, that's a pay grade drop off from one, but it's still pretty good for a rookie QB contract.
Yeah.
And, you know, if he wants to recover with Alabama, why wouldn't you want to recover and get paid?
Right.
Why would you want to get paid to sit on the bench and learn the playbook and get acclimated to the NFL game? And recover that way, as opposed to going back to Alabama, where now, let's see, we have year one, you have an ankle injury. Year two, you've got ankle injury compounded with all these other injuries, with leg injury, hip injury, all these other things. You can get hurt again in year three, and then all of a sudden it's not, oh, well, no, Tua's maybe he's not the number one pick this year. It's, oh, is Tua a top first-round pick worthy? Is he going to have health problems in the NFL? There's already some people asking that question now.
Exactly.
So why risk going back to Alabama, not getting paid, possibly getting hurt again, and then instead of being, you know, a number five pick where you're still making really, really good money for a rookie any position, let alone a rookie quarterback, and you still probably have that draft insurance where it's going to give you a little kickback anyway, why risk it?
Why risk it? That's what I said to myself as well. And all the things you just laid out there is why I'm a bit puzzled. Now, eventually, I think that smarter people than you and I are going to get in his ear and echo those same sentiments, and I think he is going to go. And if you're Nick Saban, Nick, take your hands off of it, man. You don't want to look like the coach that's, you know, trying to convince a young man from, you know, accruing generational wealth money and just so that you can maybe get some wins next season. Just stay away from it, Nick. Just say, hey, I'm supporting Tua with whatever his decision is. He will be a great NFL player. Of course, I would love to have him back, but don't even say that. No, take that part out. Don't even say that. I didn't go into public relations in college. Just go. We wish him the best if he decides to go. Either way, we're going to be fine here at Alabama.
It wouldn't shock me, though, if he tries to pull him back, because he did this with Plaxico Burress in his time at MSU. There was a quote a couple of years ago of Plaxico saying, oh, yeah, he doesn't like Nick Saban because Nick Saban told him, oh, yeah, come back and finish what you started, and then immediately bolted. Yeah.
I didn't hear Plax said that?
Plaxico.
Please send me that article.
I gotta find this because I remember seeing this. I'm like, yep, that makes sense. That sounds about right.
Wow. Okay. But whatever it takes to win in the eyes of Nick Saban, I guess. Okay. But Now, discussing this game, you know, Michigan really impressed me in this game. I can't even lie. They had that 16-14 lead going into the half yesterday in the Citrus Bowl. But, you know, in that second half, we all know what happened in that second half. As you just heard me state in the headliners, the Crimson Tide, they ended up scoring, you know, the last 21 points and outgained the Wolverines 275 yards to 109, cruising in the second half to that 35-16 dub in the Camping World Stadium in Orlando. And, you know, when you look at that first half, though, I was shocked. I couldn't really wrap my head around how this Michigan Wolverines team was still keeping pace with Alabama. And, you know, you look at Alabama's talented receiving corps. I mean, they were as good as advertised in that game. They are led by, and you heard his name said a lot yesterday, led by projected top 15 pick in Jerry Jeudy, who has like 7 gears of speed that he can hit at any given moment. He had 6 catches for 204 yards and a touchdown. And, you know, the Wolverines offense just stalled after a strong start to that game, though. I mean, you know, we saw Shea Patterson. He was relatively accurate in that first half, hitting receivers in stride, and then they were finding balance with that run game and Zach Charbonnet, you know, hitting receivers left and right. The defense made some big stops on third down, leading to Nick Saban having a conniption right before halftime. It was impressive, but you got to keep it going. You have to have consistency, and you have to be able to adjust when you play Nick Saban and Alabama. And that didn't happen for the Wolverines. You know, in that second half, they punted. The Wolverines punted on the first 4 drives. Shea Patterson also ended up throwing 2 interceptions. So, as I always say, you know, you look at Alabama, and I know they don't have Tua anymore. They didn't have Tua.
Well, they have a Tua.
Yeah, they do. They do.
They have a Tua.
Was that his cousin or brother?
I think it's his younger brother.
Yeah, his younger brother. And I think his cousin is playing for another team.
Yeah,
like the Tiger of Aloha's are deep.
Yeah,
man.
they're
deep, dude. I forget what team it was, but yeah, he has a cousin that plays for another team. I forget who it was, but you know, this is a, you know, the Crimson Tide, they just have so much talent. I mean, when you accrue, you know, top 5, top 10 recruiting classes on the regular, like Nick Saban does, I mean, you know, more times than not, about 90% of the time, you are going to have the most talent on the football field in comparison to whatever opposition that you're playing. Now, no slight to Jim Harbaugh and the Wolverines, because I tell you what, even with Michigan's struggles under the tenure of Jim Harbaugh, the Wolverines have still been able to get some pretty good recruiting classes over time. But it's like Alabama is just another level, man. They get like, I don't know how many 5-star guys on any given year, any given recruiting class. And you just saw that talent rise to the top, man. But, you know, for Michigan to hang the way they did in this game, it tells me a little bit about the resiliency that these young men have. Now, in the conversation of Jim Harbaugh, we looked at this game 2 different ways. Look, if Michigan was able to pull out this win over Alabama, you would have said to yourself, wow, okay, maybe we should ease up on Jim Harbaugh just a little bit and see what he does and at least give him another year. If they ended up losing this game, if they got blown out, well, they were expected to get blown out in the eyes of many. I'm not talking about Vegas because the line wasn't even double digits, actually. I checked the line right before kickoff, and it was at 8.5, which was very, very surprising. That was easy money for everybody who laid down some cheese on that game, Connor. But
up only 2 points from the original, like, 6.
Right, exactly. That's so crazy to me. I did not understand that line whatsoever. But, you know, if you got blown out, you were expected to get blown out by logical college football fans. If you lost but were relatively competitive, which is what they were, Connor, I think in the eyes of many people out there, Jim Harbaugh kind of gets some leeway here. And they say it just further perpetuates the insanity that Michigan fans have. Look here, some Michigan fans have. There's some that I talk to that are logical, believe it or not. You know, and I tell you this, what's the definition of insanity, Connor, doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting different results? Well, if you are sitting there looking at Jim Harbaugh's tenure and you're looking at this game, okay, we were competitive, but we still lost, but we were competitive. That's insane. That's insane. We all know that a change has to happen here. Will Jim Harbaugh make, and this is one thing I got to give Harbaugh some credit, I guess. He's not afraid to make changes on his coaching staff. I don't know, though, if he's going to make a major change on his coaching staff now. I mean, Josh Gattis and Don Brown, he kind of put all his chips into those two guys. I don't know if we're going to see a major change there. But I think this could be fool's gold here. The fact that you weren't competitive but you still lost will lead some Michigan fans out there to say, all right, I'm going to give him one more year, and maybe he can lead us to the quote-unquote promised land. I'm not buying that mess. That's garbage to me. But I got to give props to those young men who wore the maize and blue yesterday because they competed against one of the best teams in all of sports, not just college sports. Shea Patterson, 17 of 37. He could have been much better in that second half. I see a lot of people blaming him on social media about why Michigan was not able to score any points in that second half. He's getting a lot of that blame. And yeah, he had some bad throws, very inaccurate, overthrowing receivers, just not smart when his team needed him to be good against Alabama. Zach Charbonnet, 13 carries, 84 yards. I tell you what, I'm curious to see how his career turns out. Going into his sophomore season, his sophomore campaign, Connor, I really think that Charbonnet is going to be maybe the centerpiece of that Michigan offense next season. You know, he had an impressive freshman year. He ran for 726 yards, 11 touchdowns. He finished the season with, 84 yards on those 13 carries against Alabama. Next season, we could see Chris Evans returning after being suspended for the 2019 season, and he will be the main receiving back for the Wolverines. So if you can see a combination between Evans and Charbonnet, those are the guys that you want to build around. So, and I tell you what, Michigan wide receiver, you know who was a bit disappointing? Donovan Peoples-Jones, the Michigan wide receiver. He's a junior. He is able to declare for the NFL draft this season. He has been projected as, what I've been reading, a second to third round receiver in a lot of mock drafts out there. He has not announced, unless I missed it, but he has not announced, from what I've seen, what his decision is going to be just yet. And college football players, they have until January 20th, so he's got some time to decide whether they are going back to school or will enter the NFL. So he's got 19 days, 18 days to make up his mind. But I looking at his performance in that game, he did not impress whatever scouts, according to you, Connor. Many your Miami Dolphins were at that Oregon game.
There were some of them at the Oregon game, but there was a picture that one of the writers that was right. covering the Citrus Bowl took, and it's the owner, the vice president, the GM. It was like most of the upper management was at this Bama game.
Really? Okay. Yeah. See, that's the thing. I mean, if you have dreams and goals of playing at the next level, and you know you got scouts in the building at these bowl games, you got to perform, man. And Peoples-Jones, he had one catch for 34 yards. That was it. Giles Jackson, actually, along with Ronnie Bell and Nico Collins, they all each had four catches for around 50 yards. So, but Donovan Peoples-Jones, he was like non-existent now. And again, some of that had to do with the poor play of Shea Patterson down the stretch of that game. But you got to let your presence be known, man. And yeah. So for the Wolverines, Connor, this is now four losses in bowl games. Michigan has actually lost its past four bowl games. And they have now been outscored, Connor, 135-82. Michigan has lost its past four bowl games. And, you know, Jim Harbaugh, you know, what the biggest win for the Wolverines this season was what? Notre Dame? We have been talking about how the Wolverines, they have not been able to win the big games. And it just further, more fuel to the fire for those who criticize Harbaugh and his tenure at Michigan. So I don't know. I think that, you know, this was a fun game to watch. This was a game in which, you know, you really get to see just how far your program is from competing against the elite of the elite. I saw some Michigan fans out there taking a bit of a jab at the Michigan State football team because we all know what happened in the college football playoff against Alabama.
You mean
right?
the one team in the state of Michigan that won their bowl game? Oh, that Michigan State team?
Yeah, that.
The one with no offense that somehow won a semi-shootout with Wake Forest? I must have forgotten.
Yeah, we must
have
forgotten.
That Michigan State team, okay.
Yeah, but there were some taking a jab like, oh, well, at least we scored more points than Michigan State did when they were in the college football playoff against Alabama. We put up more points against Alabama, but yeah,
we didn't lose to a backup quarterback. But hey, who's counting?
Who's counting, right? But how do you view this game, and how and does this change anything when it comes to your opinion about Jim Harbaugh, Connor?
I think it would have been almost been better if they would have just been smacked by Bama for Jim Harbaugh, because then you could say, well, it's Alabama. They're another level. But the fact that they were leading at halftime. You're leading by 2 points against an angry Alabama team that the first time they touched the ball that game, they torched your secondary. You were leading against that Alabama team by 2 points going into halftime, and you couldn't get a point on the board in the second half. You couldn't keep up. Bama scored one touchdown a quarter for three quarters.
Right.
A touchdown a quarter is not that hard of a pace to keep up. Not even a field goal, nothing, Jim. Offensive-minded Jim Harbaugh couldn't even put up a field goal in the second half. Right. I mean, come on. I get Shea Patterson struggled, but as I seem to recall, for the last 2 years, Michigan fans have been praising him as the Messiah that will take them to the next level, and he has done nothing.
Nothing. He's done nothing.
They don't win big games, but it's more than that. Again, if Jim Harbaugh just constantly got smacked in big games, okay, that's one thing. He just can't convert. But the fact that the teams are there for part or half or three quarters or even four quarters of the game and just find a way to blow it, to me, is worse. Because no matter how much talent you're bringing in, they just can't close.
Yeah.
I think that's more of an indictment on Harbaugh than getting smacked by. I mean, if every year you're getting smacked by Ohio State and you're getting smacked by Alabama, those are better programs than you.
If it's close and you lose, then it comes down to the X's and O's and you as a coach. But I tell you what, for me, like I said, coming into this game, you know, if Michigan ends up losing this game, we expected them to lose. It's Alabama. But, again, the fact that they were in it and they had to lead at halftime, that was shocking. What say you? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You know what? Connor, let's give away those tickets right now. Let's go with caller number 3. Why caller number 3? I have no idea. That's just the first number that popped in my head. Caller number 3 will win tickets to tonight's Michigan State men's basketball game as they take on Illinois. If you want those tickets, call up right now. Caller number Trey will get those tickets. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, I want to bring a feature to you centered on the great James Moore, who is so open and so candid with me, the former Michigan State fullback great who certainly has had his troubles away from the gridiron. You'll hear his story, and we'll talk some Michigan State men's basketball later on as well. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to the new year edition of Current Sports here on the first show of 2020. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. You know, I've been working on this story for a few weeks now, and, you know, we have been in talks about putting this thing together for a while, and, you know, finally our former news director, Reginald Hardwick, who is now at Illinois now, you know, we sat down and said, hey, man, I think that'd be a great feature about with James Moore. And we said, yeah, that'd be a great idea. So I finally scheduled a date to go out to James's house. And again, James Moore is a former Lansing Sexton High School football great who went on to play at Michigan State as a fullback. You know, kind of like, you know, he was like the main guy blocking for Michigan State's all-time leading rusher, Lorenzo White, who just went into the College Football Hall of Fame. And, you know, James had a great career. He was a part of that, of course, 1988 Rose Bowl championship team. And, you know, then, you know, James, you know, decides not to come back for his final year of eligibility after his junior season. And there were really no NFL teams knocking on his door. He had like two workouts. One of those workouts were actually for my Dallas Cowboys. But they weren't interested, and no teams were. And you go from being this highly acclaimed athlete, you know, since you were playing elementary school ball, to now figuring out, what do I do with my life now that the ride has stopped? And that's a harsh reality for a lot of players out there, those who have been playing the game and been highly touted for a long, long time. And then after college, if you don't have any attention coming from the pros, it's like, okay, what is the next chapter in my life now? And I've talked to many athletes who have gone down this downward spiral of depression and confusion, and it has led to some great redemption stories. You know, sometimes you figure out what your other passions are in life, and you have great success in whatever that area is, or you go down this really, really deep rabbit hole. And that's where James went. I don't want to spoil the story. I want to bring it to you actually right now, the audio of this story. Many of you have already seen the video of this story. We dropped it right before midnight that ushered in the new year. So we dropped it on the night of New Year's Eve. Here is the audio of our James Moore featured entitled Moore to the Story.
We find James Moore on this afternoon chatting it up with his good friend, Dooley, who has decided to come over and model his MSU-decked custom motorcycle.
My girl, who's on the bike. Fighting for life, baby. Fighting for life, baby.
The younger days of Moore were at times like a ride on a blazing fast crotch rocket, capable of running off the road and to destruction at any time.
Well, what we got here is the article that came out about a year ago. Cody did that article. And this kid sent this to me. He put this together. He took all my pictures, and that was my first collegiate touchdown right there up and over.
This is who you know, James Moore, the highly recruited Lansing Sexton High School Hall of Famer, who went on to star at Michigan State, winning a Rose Bowl championship back in 1988.
No, it's just a blessing.
This is the man you know, but there's so much more you don't. The fullback played in 29 games for Michigan State, best known for opening up running lanes for MSU's all-time leading rusher, Lorenzo White.
Here's Lorenzo White, vaulting, hurtling, and fighting close to a first down.
That's one thing about Lorenzo, you know what I'm saying? We was teammates. We bled together, we sweat together, we cried together, we died together, and then we stayed alive together. You know, I mean, it wasn't about Lorenzo White all the time, but Lorenzo White knew that he couldn't do it without us.
During the 1988 season, an injury forced Moore to the sideline. After deciding not to return for his final year of eligibility, there wasn't much interest coming from the NFL.
You know, when you do something for so long and then it's gone and then you start reaching and grabbing, you know, trying to, you know, fulfill or fill a void or, you know, numb yourself. And that's when it started. I can't recall the first time.
He eased that pain? crack cocaine. 1999, Grand Rapids. A routine trip to whet his appetite provided the wake-up call for more. His heart skipped a beat as he caught the glimpse of a police patrol car in his rearview mirror.
And I look in my rearview mirror, and it's the boys, police. God was with me. He was like, son. So for some reason, they pulled off and went someplace else.
The patrol car eventually drove away. No flashing lights. And the next morning, after making breakfast for his 11-year-old daughter, Sierra, it hit him.
Woke up the next morning. And just visions was flashing through my head. Dude, if they would have took you to jail, first of all, you was working, you would have lost your job. Then your daughter would have been in that apartment by herself. I'm in the system. Wait a minute, this ain't James Moore. It's not James Moore. Man, I woke up that next morning and all that stuff was going through my head. Man, I broke my stems, I broke everything, and have not touched it since.
It was a nearly 10-year battle, but Moore has been clean ever since, turning his life around and deciding to give back to the community that once cheered for his blocks and touchdowns. Moore is now the founder of the Speaking with a Purpose campaign, better known as SWAP.
Swapping out that negative behavior for positive, swapping out the negative thoughts, negative words for positive. Because the power of the tongue is so powerful. And I'm trying to get to the kids, plus our adults.
That drive for giving back came from his parents, Linda and Cleveland Moore, who taught James and his six brothers about the importance of giving back and appreciating what you have.
My mother had three kids when she met my father. He adopted us and gave us his last name, Moore. So he raised seven boys, and none of us ever were stepkids. That's Cleveland Moore. That's a man.
Linda still has a special place in Moore's heart.
That they're passionate about taking care of us and providing for us. And, you know, I miss my mother today. Pops is here. But Linda, you know, rest her soul. Great, great parents.
Oz is one of my best buds, man. We've been together for 15 years or more.
He shares this home in the Lansing area with one of his best buddies, Clifton Lawner. It's a 15-year relationship that, of course, is...
For life. For life. For life.
Lawner's son, Josh, played for Moore's Lansing Area Football League. Moore created the league for kids who got cut from the bigger youth football programs.
You know, my son loves him, too. When they see each other, they hug each other. You know, all my kids do. He don't get no better than this dude. If you know, he's a positive influence on kids, people around him. You know, he don't like to see the negative or bad things to anybody. It's picking people up like he did me at times when I was down, like, you know, it's not going to get better. It will.
Moore has four sons, one biological and three stepsons. Sierra is his only daughter. Moore now lives to make them proud.
I love them all, and I'm there for them. They're all doing amazing. And just keep striving, being positive. Making good choices, because choices follow you.
That's that actual album, Battle Wounds, baby.
So again, James Moore, just a great time sitting down with him. How about that, right? I mean, after his playing days were over, you know, he goes through this period of depression, and his outlet became drugs, specifically crack cocaine, an addiction that lasted for almost 10 years. He shakes it due to that moment that, you know, you heard highlighted there. and now is doing some awesome things in the community with the Speaking With a Purpose philanthropic campaign, impacting the youth and adults through that campaign, and is doing some great charity work here in the Lansing area as well. That's what it's about, folks. That's a great, great story to bring to you all, a feel-good story as we usher in the new year with your new goals and expectations and just a fresh, it's nice to have a fresh 365, isn't it? Gotta love that. Okay, we did give away a pair of tickets to tonight's Michigan State men's basketball game. The third caller was Alex from East Lansing. Alex, enjoy the game tonight, brother. We'll be, of course, recapping tonight's Big Ten matchup between Tom Izzo's Spartans and the Fighting Illini on tomorrow's Current Sports, the Friday edition of Current Sports. Also, Connor, you saw some news floating around on Twitter, but it looks as though we knew this was coming after the Michigan State football season was said and done, that Mark D'Antonio would have to sit in a deposition of up to 7 hours concerning what happened with the letting go of former football staffer Curtis Blackwell. You saw on Twitter, Connor, that deposition is going to happen someday between January 13th to the 17th. So there's an update on that. And of course, as we get closer to that time period, we'll have some chatter when it comes to that as well. So, all right, let's hit our final break. Andy from South Carolina, I see ya. We're going to take that call. And if you want to get in a quick call before we bid you all adieu on this January 2nd, again, the number is 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We have about a little over 5 minutes left here in the hour. Let's go to our phone lines. Andy from South Carolina wants to weigh in. Andy, Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you. Happy New Year to you. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we got you okay. What's on your mind?
Happy New Year to you. I missed the first half your show. I was doing laundry. But I'm going to ask you the same question that I asked you. When Michigan State men's basketball started, and you said that they couldn't get out of the gate. And I'm going to ask you that same question. What do you think?
Just my overall thoughts on where this team is right now, Andy?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I tell you what, I like this team, but I do believe that, and especially, you got to take in consideration how this team hasn't been fully healthy at a few parts of this season, especially right now. I mean, Cassius Winston, you know, he sat out with a bone bruise last game. Mark Rocket Watts, you know, he's just getting his footing back as well. You know, I brought to you the Kyle Arnes news. So this team, with that being said, is good, but I question how great they can be. I'll tell you right now, I still stand with this. I said this in the middle of December. This team right now, Andy, is not a Final Four team. They still got some holes in the boat that they got to figure out how to plug. Specifically, when Cassius Winston is not in the game, who is that guard you can turn to, who can facilitate and also find the bottom of the net as well? It's encouraging what we saw against Western. If you watch that game, we finally saw Foster Lawyer put up some points. That was encouraging. But I question the amount of depth that they have behind their two best players in Cassius Winston and Xavier Tillman. That's where I'm a bit nervous right now. And then the amount of turnovers right now, Andy. So they got some problems. They got some problems right now.
Right. Okay. Well, I beg to differ, but what I'll do is I'll check back with you in a couple weeks here.
Awesome.
And I'm going to ask you the same question.
Okay.
You said that they couldn't get out of the gate, but I still got my... I'm an alumni, and I still got my bets on Michigan State.
That's awesome stuff, and good stuff on the laundry, Andy. I need to do some laundry myself. Thank you, Andy.
Okay, I'll talk to you.
All right, line two with 3 minutes left here at the buzzer. We've got Ray from Indiana who wants to chime in. Ray, what's up?
Hey,
Ray, are you there? Okay. Ray is not there. Is Ray there, Connor? No? Yes? No? Ray? One more time? Going once? Going twice? And we don't have Ray. Ray, call back tomorrow. I know Ray. I know, Connor, Ray has some thoughts on what happened yesterday as Alabama beat Michigan. Ray being the notorious Michigan hater that he is. I'm sure he was loving every bit of that second half, right? Thoughts on David Stern, though, Connor? I have this in our rundown. I did want to comment. I may just ask. I'm going to ask Throwback Thursday right now, and I do want to comment here in the last 120 seconds on the life and legacy that was David Stern passing away at the age of 77 years old. I think, in my personal opinion, Connor, the best commissioner in North American sports history. There have been many commissioners. You look at the NHL, the MLB, you know, the NFL. No, I haven't seen a commissioner that comes close to the amount of accomplishments as far as growing that professional game internationally, the amount of money that the NBA has brought in nowadays. I mean, David Stern was a pioneer, and just really saddening news and a very sad story that he has passed away. But David Stern's legacy, his imprint is on this game and will continue to be felt throughout the NBA's eternity, without a doubt.
There's a really good Adrian Wojnarowski story on Stern on ESPN, and I read it before the show. I would suggest anyone who likes the NBA, who, you know, appreciates the NBA, or who's a fan of the Timberwolves, the Heat, or any of these expansion teams, give it a read.
Definitely. Thank you for that, Connor. I'm going to give him, he called back, I'm going to give him 15 seconds. Ray, you got 15 seconds. Ray from Indiana. Ray, what's up? Make it quick, baby.
Oh, God, it's so great. Happy New Year. The Bullies pushed them all over the field in the second half. I said, they better get on. Saban better get on them. And they pushed them all over the field. They remind me of the Dallas Cowboys and Garrett. They're 1-4, 0-20. I mean, you can go on and on.
All right.
It's so beautiful to watch them keep getting beat up.
All right. Ray got it in. Ray from Indiana. Cheap jab at my Cowboys. We'll see you tomorrow. Be easy, people.